Hi there, listeners. I am Andrew Ridgely, and today I am bringing you the story of Wham's singles. The first single we released, Wham Rap, we wrote in 1981 in my mum and dad's front room with the aid of a four-track recording, a Fostex four-track. It was the home recording for amateurs, really. It was the first chance that anyone really had to record in their own home, and essentially multi-track recording. And we did it with the aid, as I said, of the four-track and a broom handle onto which we secured the mic that we did the backing vocals of George sang through. Wham Rap was, we had a lot invested in Wham Rap, and we had high hopes for it. It got really good reviews from the music press when it was released, but the Radio 1 wouldn't play it. Effectively, it was banned because it contained a four-letter word, a very minor four-letter word, but a four-letter word nonetheless. Despite the great reviews and sort of the heralding of a new social vanguard music act, it didn't trouble the top 100 on its first release. Nevertheless, a great track, I think, and plenty of people did subsequently. Here it is, Wham Rap.
Everybody take a look at me. I've got street credibility. I may not have a job, but I have a good time with the boys that I meet down on the line. Said D-H-S-S. Man, the rhythm that they're giving is the very best. Yeah. I said B-1, B-2. Make a claim, sign your names, all you have to do. Well, folks can be a drag if work ain't your bag. And when you let them know, you're more dead than alive in a 9-to-5. Then they say you've got to go and
get yourself a job
or get out of this house.
Get yourself a job.
Are you a man or a mouse? I figure any cheer you pretend not to hear. Gotta get some space, get out of this place.
Man, man, I am a man. Job or no job,
you can't tell me that I'm not.
Do you enjoy what you do? If not, just stop. Don't say that it's rot.
In the streets, in the cars, on the underground. If you listen real hard, you can hear the sound of a million people switching up for work. Well, listen, Mr. Average,
you're a jerk.
Not me, you can't hold me down. Not me, I'm gonna fool around. Gonna have some fun, look out for number one. You can dig your grave, I'm staying young.
Bam, bam, I am a man. Job or no job,
you can't tell me that I'm not.
Do you enjoy what you do? If not, just stop.
Be a jet black guy with a hip high five, a white cool cat with a trilby hat. Maybe leather and studs is where you're at. Make the most of every day. Don't let hard times stand in your way. Give a wham, give a bam, but don't give a damn, cause the benefit gang are gonna pay. Now reach up high and touch your soul. The boys from Wham will help you reach that goal.
It's gonna break your mama's heart.
So sad.
It's gonna break your daddy's heart.
Too bad.
But you'll throw the dice and take my advice, because I know.
Andrew Ridgely here, taking you on a journey through Wham's single releases. Up next is Young Guns. Young Guns was the single what broke us, in actual fact. We, with the relative lack of success with Wham Rap, we followed up with Young Guns in the autumn of 1982. And a BBC researcher had seen us performing one of our personal appearances at probably a dingy little club in somewhere outside of Hemel Hempstead. And she proposed us for Saturday Superstore, which was a Saturday morning show. And after we'd appeared on that, the single started to rise through the charts, and it was just nudging the top 40. And back in those days, Top of the Pops would debut any new entries into the top 40. We were hovering just outside at number 42, and it looked, for all the world, like we weren't going to, the sales weren't going to be enough to take us into the top 40. But fate smiled upon us, and an act dropped out. Being the next highest riser, we got offered that spot on Top of the Pops, and Top of the Pops was the big turning point. That's what put the rocket boosters underneath the Wham success story, and propelled us all the way to the number 3 spot. So our first hit, let's hear it. It is Young Guns, Go For It.
Hey, sir. Well, I haven't seen your face around town a while, so I greeted you with a knowing smile. When I saw that girl upon your arm, I knew she'd find your heart with a fatal charm. I said, soul boy, let's hit the town. I said, hey boy, and what's with the frown? But in return, all you could say was, hi, George, meet my fiancé.
You're back in the real world listening to Andrew Ridgeley, and you're joining me to talk through Wham's single releases. We've just heard Young Guns, and after the top 3 success of Young Guns, we released a track called Bad Boys. Bad Boys went to number 2. It was another big, big hit for us. But George hated the track, and he hated it because he felt he was backed into a corner in having to write it to follow up on the success of Young Guns and Wham Rap. It was a bit of a trilogy of sort of youthful rebellion. But at that point in time, it just wasn't the case. You know, we were a chart success artist, and so taking the sort of the teenage rebel without a cause position wasn't really authentic us. So whilst he really didn't like the sentiment of the song, it is nevertheless a really good pop song. Great hook, really well produced, and great melodies. So, 1983, it's released. 40 years on, here's Bad Boys.
Dear Mommy, dear Daddy, you have plans for me. Oh yeah, I was your only son. And long before this baby boy began to free, you knew just what he would become.
When I went to school, the child of mine grows up with you. When I went to school,
when you tried to tell me what to do, I just shut my mouth and smile at you. One thing
I'm Andrew Ridgeley, and that was Bad Boys. After the success of Bad Boys, we re-released Wham Rap, which climbed to number 8. We felt that it deserved a re-release. It was a track that that represented great meaning to us, being our first single, and it was well worth people hearing it, whereas they perhaps hadn't the first time around. However, The single that we released post the trilogy, if you like, was the great Club Tropicana, though I say it myself. Club Tropicana represented to us an unchaining, a throwing off the fetters of the sort of teenage rebel without a cause image, and was far more authentic to the young men that Jog and I were at that point in time. It was sexier. It was more sophisticated. It was very glam. The lyric to Club Tropicana was influenced by our experience of London nightlife, and particularly the beat route and the escapism that allowed people to indulge in. And so Club Trop is slightly tongue-in-cheek, wry look at the club culture of the day. But the video allowed us to illustrate the Wham as it was going to be set forth from that point onwards. The video was shot in Ibiza and became an iconic video, so much so, as you may know, that Louis Capaldi remade it frame by frame. Yeah, I mean, it is frame by frame an exact replication of the Club Tropicana video. Quite extraordinary. And so, here it is, Club Tropicana.
Har mere end du forventer. Bare husk at sætte din profil til 18+. Så kan du streame en masse film og serier kun for de voksne. Stream episk action i den kritikerroste serie Shogun. Og bliv en del af glamouren i Vanderpump Villa. Stream Alien-filmene, hvis du tør. Stream alt dette og meget mere for kun 49 kroner per måned. Disney Plus. Mere end du forventer. Abonnement kræves 18+.
Forestil dig et Danmark på 100% grøn energi. Og mens du gør det, arbejder vi på sagen. Hos Nordlys giver vi dig adgang til mere end 25.000 ladestandere i hele landet, med endnu flere på vej. Til dig, der kører på el i dag, og dig, der gør det i morgen. Fremtiden er Nordlys.
Vi fejrer fødselsdag i seng. I 25 år har vi hjulpet danskerne med at sove bedre, og det skal fejres. Spar 20% på udvalgte luksus afbingmadrasser. Spar 35% på ny kollektion af Wonderland-senge, og få en gratis W300-gavl med, når du køber en seng. Se, vi er specialister i at finde den rigtige seng til dig.
Harald Nyborg. Altid lave priser. 10 kilos vaskemaskine fra Vasco kun 2195. Stålrammepul kun 2295. Spar 700. Tilmeld nyhedsbrevet og deltag i konkurrencer om fede præmier på haraldnyborg.dk. 120 år med altid lave priser.
You're listening to me, Andrew Ridgeley, wax lyrical about Wham's stellar career. Following on from Club Tropicana, we were recording our first studio album, Fantastic, and we had a shocking record deal at the time, and we decided to use the album to try and leverage a better deal. And George decided in his youthful ire to take the master recordings from the studio, and his idea was to bury them in his mum and dad's back garden until the record company came up with a better deal for us. We were talked out of that by our sage and advisor and music publisher, publishers. So, in the meantime, what happened was, Inavision released the Wham Club Fantastic Megamix, which was a sort of a mix of two or three tracks from the unreleased tracks from the Club Fantastic album. There were only eight tracks on the Club Fantastic album, eight or nine. One of those was a cover, and four of those have been released as singles. So there wasn't a great deal to listen to otherwise. So, yes, let's hear the Club Fantastic Megamix.
My life would fall apart.
How Doody, you're listening to a very special radio show celebrating 40 years of Wham and via the single, the full compendium of Wham singles. I'm Andrew Ridgely, and I'll be giving you some background to those singles and contextualising the releases, as it were. So we have reached the point of no return. We have reached 1984. We had a very successful tour, the Club Fantastic tour, and our record dispute had been resolved, and we were in the studio trying to write and record our next release, and which was a big release. We hadn't released anything for 9 months or so, at least 6 months, and it needed to be a good one. We were working on a track called Wham Shake, which was it had potential, but we couldn't seem to extract the magic or inject the magic. There was a creeping sense of a little bit of anxiety and not desperation as such, but verging on that, insofar as, you know, are we actually going to be able to come up with anything? As it happened, a moment of brilliance, and he was prone to those, admittedly. We were forever doing promo and whatnot, and I'd written a note. We were still living with our parents, not having a record deal that paid any money. And so I'd written a note for my mother to wake me up for an early morning promo PR thing or whatever. I'd written it, made a spelling mistake. I'd written, "Wake me up." So I put, "Before you go. Yog saw this, and the next thing, yanked me into a side studio and played me a sketch, if you like, of Wake Me Up, and it had number one written all over it, in that the first opening bars, and it became our first UK number one. It became our first US number one, and it was number one in several other territories as well. It was a truly inspired moment, because it was exactly what we needed at that time. So here it is. It's Wake Me Up Before You Go. Wake me up.
dancing tomorrow night. It's cold out there, but it's warm in bed. They can dance. We'll stay home instead. Wake me up before you go, go.
I'm Andrew Ridgeley, and I am reviewing, looking back over the course of Wham's single releases from 1982 through until 1986. Released in the August of 1984 was The Jewel in the Crown, the song that Jog and I had written over the course of about a year or so, from the age of 18 to 19, and appeared on our first demo, the one that... what we secured our record contract with, Careless Whisper. It was a track that we were immensely proud of from the very start, but it always sat somewhat outside the sort of portfolio of songs, of Wham songs. And so Jog had asked me if I'd consent to him releasing it as a solo single. At that point, It was apparent to us both that Jog's songwriting was evolving in a way that would one day step outside the constraints and the parameters that Wham set for him as a songwriter. We understood that it would provide the perfect context for him to reveal George Michael, the solo artist, to the world. The song's genesis was remarkable in some ways. It was coincidental, certainly. I had been working on a chord. I was playing around with chord inversions and came up with a really nice pattern that I felt would lend itself to a ballad. And Jog, unbeknownst to me, had been working through a melody in his head, which was the sax melody. And he came around to my house, Mum and Dad's house, one evening, and I said to him, "Jog, have a listen to this, because I think it's really, you know, it's nice." And I played it to him, and he said, "Oh, that fits exactly to the melody that I've got." And so that was the genesis of Careless Whisper. And it's a fantastic record, and it is a really good song. But Jog, later in his career, he took a slightly dim view of it, which always surprised me, because you have to set it in the context of the fact that it was written by, you know, we were teenagers with no real experience of the subject matter that it addresses. I think he came to view Careless Whisper as being slightly juvenile, which I think is a bit of an unfair slight, to be honest, because it's such an outstanding record. So here it is, Careless Whisper.
Waste the chance that I've been given. So I'm never gonna dance again. The way
Join me, Andrew Ridgeley, and I will take you, am taking you on a journey through Wham singles, the full single releases, 82 to 86. So our next single release, and the first single release from the album Make It Big, following up from Careless Whisper's release in the summer of 1984, was the track Freedom. It was an album that represented the chance for Yogg to... Who by this time was shouldering exclusively the songwriting duties because he was the best one at it. and so he had an awful lot of pressure and responsibility on his shoulders at this point. But he also had a lot of freedom, no pun intended, to write anything he wanted to. Essentially, our success was such that there were no real restraints on style imposed upon him and his songwriting. So it gave him a freedom to write in styles that whatever he wanted. And Freedom has a certain Motown element of its style. And here it is. Let's say no more. Freedom.
Love me, baby.
I'm Andrew Ridgely, and I am taking you on a journey, an audio safari through the releases of Wham. Following up on Freedom, released in the autumn of 1984, the next single was conceived one slightly dank and drizzly Sunday afternoon in the autumn of 1984. Jörg and I were round his parents' house and whiling away the hours. The footy was on the TV, and Jörg disappeared up to his bedroom and came back down about an hour or less later and said to me in a state of high excitement, Andy, you've got to come and listen to this. So went upstairs and played me the opening bars to what became one of the greatest Christmas classics of all time, Last Christmas. And it was a moment of sheer brilliance and revelation. The intro chord pattern and the chorus melody, it shouted Christmas. It was apparent in that moment that he had conceived a Christmas classic, an all-time Christmas classic. And it was recorded in quite a hurry. It needed to come out for that year, that Christmas, 1984. And so we were whisked away to shoot a video in late November of 1984, to shoot a video in Saas-Fee in the Swiss Alps. We were working with Andy Morahan, our video director, who had storyboarded the Last Christmas video as a ski party weekend, and it was not only storyboarded, but it became pretty much a real ski party weekend. We took a load of our friends, and we had the most fabulous time. The video Last Christmas, it's the perfect visual companion to the track. It illustrates and intimates everything that the music itself does. So, possibly one of the greatest Christmas classics of all time. This is Last Christmas. That was Last Christmas, which was a double A-side, and the the other A side, the AA side, was Everything She Wants, which is one of the Wham great tracks, and was slightly overshadowed being a double A side. I'm not quite sure why we took that decision, to be honest, because Everything She Wants more than stands up on its own, and could have added to our number one tally, actually. So a little bit disappointed. And so here it is, Everything She Wants. Andrew Ridgely here, and today I've been taking you on a tour through all of Wham's singles. The performance in China had raised our profile globally to a point where we were able to perform a stadium tour, which was a fantastic experience. One of the funny moments on that tour was our police escort from our hotel in Los Angeles to the Los Angeles racecourse, and we had six police outriders who would and the front two pair would go to the next intersection. They'd stop the traffic, and we'd go. And George and I were so embarrassed that we were cowering on the floor of the limo below the window height, so no one could see us. Absolutely hilarious. It was a fantastic tour, and it elevated us, in actual fact. It elevated Wham from being a, you know, we were a number one act, we had a number one album, number one singles, but with the stadium tour, it elevated us into a sort of a super group status. It was a real success and an incredible experience. Some of the best shows I think that we did took place in on that tour. So we are coming to the end of the Wham single lineage. but two absolute corkers, possibly my favourite, released in the autumn of 1985. And we'd come to the point where Wham was fully formed. It was definitive Wham, and Jörg was writing songs that really reflected our growing sort of maturity, which actually meant he was writing songs about sex. And I'm Your Man is that song. So here it is. Andrew Ridgeley here, and today I've been taking you on a tour through all of Wham's singles. We are now very nearly at the end of that road, that journey, and it's the final single, which was The Edge of Heaven. We'd taken the decision to bring Wham to a close with the successful stadium tour in the States, and the scale and speed of the Wham success over the course of its career. We'd achieved everything we set out to achieve with Wham, and more, to be honest. I don't think we could have really guessed at the scale of that success initially. But it was also, we journeyed through our late youth and into adulthood, and life had changed for us. And it was apparent that we'd sort of taken Wham as far as we had imagined we could for it. Wham was essentially about our youth. It was essentially about us as youthful chums, and we'd grown beyond that. And so we took the decision to bring Wham to a close in the summer of 1986, and we discussed how we'd do it, and there was a bit of, we disagreed. I felt we should tour one last time. I thought we owed our fans globally the opportunity to say goodbye, and for us to say goodbye to them. Jörg felt that there could only be one concert. It was the final was the final. It could only be one concert. So He won out in the end. Very difficult to persuade him, you know, to go and do a tour when he didn't want to. And so, yeah, that beautiful summer's day, 28th of June 1986, we brought the curtain down on our stellar career, and he wrote an extremely good track to bring things to a close, which is The Edge of Heaven. Thank you for joining me. I am Andrew Ridgeley, and that was the full panoply of Wham's hits from start to finish, celebrating 40 years of Wham to date. More to come, I'd wager. So thank you for listening with me, and goodbye. See you again.